Hey guys, welcome back to the Becoming You podcast. This is your host, Marjani Aladdin. And in today's episode, episode 5, we're going to be talking about how to do it all without actually doing it all and what exactly it means to have it all at the same time. It's 2020 and we've been doing a lot of talking about goals and creating new habits. And so I want to talk about what comes along with getting in alignment with the different areas of your life that you want to improve. So we're a few days into February and there is a theme that I see all over my social media and every conversation that I'm having with everyone, and it is that this is the year of abundance. Everyone seems to be very clear on the fact that 2020 is a special year. There's something in the air, there's a vibration and energy in the atmosphere, and people feel it. They want it all, they're going for it all, and they're excited to do it. And I love it. I'm here for it, and I am here to make sure that I am going in alignment with what that means for my destiny and for my purpose and for my life, and hopefully encourage you all to do the same. But I want to talk about, in the midst of getting it all and doing it all and having everything that comes along with it, that also sometimes means adding a lot to our to-do list. Sometimes when we get really introspective about what we want in our lives, whether that requires a shift, a change, or just adding things so that we can level up, that can also come with the responsibility of learning new things, adding new tasks, creating new habits, and taking on more responsibility so that we can create the life that we want. And so that means that just as much as our life will grow, so will our to-do list. And if we're not careful about the lists that we create for ourselves, the tasks and the responsibilities, we can get a little overwhelmed and sometimes burn ourselves out. So before we get too far in the year and our burnout starts to kick in, I want to talk about how to do it all and hit all of the zones of influence or the different areas of your life and kind of balance all of those areas without getting burnt out, without feeling overwhelmed and kind of giving up. So if we can be proactive about the process and not overwhelm ourselves, then maybe we can avoid burnout and we can stay on track all throughout the year as best as we can. So as I said, we've been discussing a lot about goals and new habits over the last few weeks and your motivation and introspection about where you want your life to go and grow. And the areas of your life that you might be looking to improve might be your finances, your health, maybe your internal well-being. The audits collection, some of you may know, I know some of you actually do know for sure because you have purchased the audits collection, and thank you for that. And I'm so glad it has been a helpful resource to you. But the audit collection is a collection of 8 workbooks that I released in December that help you take a look at your habits, your goals, and your choices in the different areas of your life or the zones that you have influence over. And as I said before, some of those might be your physical health. Maybe you want to lose weight or gain weight. Maybe you want to look a specific way or just feel healthier all around. Your personal relationships with your family and your friends, that's another zone of influence. You might have your own company and be an entrepreneur, or you might be in school or just a lifelong learner who's really committed to making sure that you're continuously learning. How do you pay attention to those areas of your life? And the audit takes you through the habits and the actions of your past year and compare them against the goals that you are setting for yourself in the future so that you can bridge the gap between the habits that you have and that have taken you to where you are now and the habits that you need to create and form so that you can become the person that you are trying to become. Another zone of influence that is really important is your finances and your financial well-being. Are you paying attention to not only the daily ins and outs of your budget on a daily basis, but what are you doing to impact your financial well-being in the future, whether that's improving your credit, investing, purchasing a home, etc.? And then, of course, one of the areas that I love the most is internal and personal well-being. I have an internal audit where you can start to ask yourself, and there are prompts in each of these audits, where it is that you're trying to go. All of that is to say, all of those areas of your life, if you're trying to create some clarity and alignment, it can get a little overwhelming. And these tips that we're going to go through will help make that process of balancing things out a little bit more seem less daunting, especially if you're just beginning to write down your goals. If this is a process that's new to you, writing goals, creating supporting plans, and implementing a process that works can seem overwhelming at first, seeing it all on paper. Now, I'm sure if you're like me, getting it out of your head is one step to feeling lighter. All of the to-dos and the tasks and the goals and the dreams that you have rambling around there, putting them on paper creates clarity within your body. But then looking at it, the next step is, okay, now what do I do next? How do I tackle all of this? So how do we find balance and get things done when time and energy feels limited? So utilizing a few tools and strategies in our lives can help us create more balance. And I say more balance because I do not want to create an illusion that you can create some perfect life where nothing ever goes wrong and you're spinning all 8 plates at once and you're just living a perfect life. I think that is a unrealistic view, but I do think you can have a level of balance where if you need to pay attention to one area of your life or two areas of your life more than another, that is okay. And you still feel worthy, you still feel mentally well, you still feel at peace, and you're still experiencing progress, growth, and happiness. I think those are the important things to focus on rather than just achieving this quote-unquote societal view or even your own idea of what perfect is, because life is never perfect. It's never exactly what you expect it to be. But implementing some tools, creating some strategies, and shifting your mindset can really help you create that I have it all mindset. The people that seem to have it all, it's because they appreciate what they have and they use the tools that they have to create their best life. So let's talk about it. How to do it all without doing it all. Number one, prioritize. Prioritize, prioritize, prioritize. Sometimes we are trying to have it all and do it all, but it's all out of whack. There is no actual order or prioritization or alignment to our task. We're just trying to create this image of perfection. So when we say doing it all, we must first begin by looking at what quote unquote it all is. What is our picture of all of the things that we need to do? And are those things truly a priority in our lives? Sometimes we've created lists and tasks for ourselves that are really important or properly aligned with what we have set our goal towards. And sometimes we have not. And in order to get more done and also feel like we're getting more done, we first need to know what it truly is that is important to us and has the greatest need for our energy and time. When we narrow in on what's important, we can stop feeling pulled in unnecessary directions and can better focus our energy on what drives our goals, our healing, and our happiness. So priorities are important. Yes, I might have mentioned 8 different zones of influence, but maybe there are 2 or 3 areas of your life that you feel like you need to zone in on. You need to give a little bit more energy. You need to audit more often. You might not have to do a academic audit if you are just a casual learner every week, but your finances might need that additional check over and check in and reflection on a weekly basis if you have goals to increase your financial well-being. So making sure that you know what your priorities are, it really helps to align your energy so that you're not just putting bits and pieces of energy into buckets where it's not necessary, where you might already be full or you might not need to put that time and energy. Prioritize what's important and then drive your energy and your goals towards that thing. Number 2, learn to say no. This is something I'm learning to do. No is an answer. No is an answer. It's okay to say no. And when I say no, I'm saying no in 2 parts. No to others, but also no to yourself. And I'll elaborate on that in a minute. But stop taking on the responsibilities, tasks, and events and overextending yourself without intent. And I say without intent because I truly believe that it's good to do things for others to help people out. And sometimes that means, you know what, I'm not going to go home and take that bubble bath because I want to go help my friend do something, or I want to spend time with my family, or whatever it is. Sometimes you have trade-offs, but do it with intent. Don't pull yourself in directions unnecessarily just because you're like, yes, I have to say yes to everything. If somebody asks me to do something, I have to say yes to it. If an opportunity arises, I have to say yes to it. You don't have to. You can say no, but say no with intent. Know why you're saying no and say yes with intent. Know why you're saying yes and know that saying yes should align with your priorities. It's okay to say yes to others if your priority is to nurture your relationship and that activity will do so. So remember that this is not a declaration of not doing things for others. It's just remembering to do all things with intent and knowing that you do not have to take away from yourself in order to have it all in life. So if you, another way of looking at it as well is if you are a doer or a people person, like I have been myself, I invite you to use this exercise and learning to say no, to dig into that. Dig into that. Why am I a people person or a doer or a people pleaser? Is that feeling to always have to say yes and do for others, even at the detriment of myself, connected to a trauma or an attachment style or a need to be liked by others? Sometimes we will overextend ourselves and do for others at the expense of and sometimes detriment of ourselves because we feel as if deep, deep down inside, people might not like us as much or keep us around if we don't prove or provide value to their lives. So if I don't always do this or that, my friend won't like me. Or if I don't always give them gifts, they won't appreciate me. Or if I don't always spend this time, even if I'm really, really tired, they're not going to understand and they're going to think I don't love them. We don't have to overextend ourselves to those who we are truly, number one, nurturing our relationships with, but are honest about our boundaries and what we need, honest with ourselves. We won't have to do that. It won't have to come at the detriment of ourselves to nurture these relationships or to prove our value. So detaching from this mindset requires us to look at ourselves as already worthy and amazing without the approval or the sign off of others. And this mindset in itself, guys, I promise you, because it's something that I have been working on and continue to work on all the time. But this mindset in itself will begin to create space for like-minded people to enter your life. People that value you genuinely for who you are. And you'll also start learning to say no also means learning to say yes to yourself. So you'll start to embrace parts of yourself and who you are just because you have given yourself permission to have boundaries and to respect self and to have balance and know that balance includes you and your health and your well-being and the things that you need. So learning to say no is a really big part of having it all because it really clarifies what it all once again is. And it really reminds you that you are worthy without doing and overextending to others and to places and to things to prove your value and your worth. You are already valuable, you are already worthy, and you deserve the boundary to say no. So the third tip to having it all, or doing it all and having it all without actually doing it, is not to just plan. I know we've talked about planning in episode 1 of the podcast, why just setting a goal will not make you successful. We talked about planning and how important it is to support your goals with a plan. But the next part of that is not to just plan, but to prepare, to set yourself up to success for your day. So be intentional about how you spend your time. Setting yourself up for success is a key to creating balance between the areas of your life. For example, if you have a job, and you're a student and you're working on your internal and physical health, you're hitting 4 zones of influence at once that you are prioritizing, it's going to be important to carve out time to study. cook meal prep and then going to the gym are all important parts of your habits that you're trying to form to create this person, that this is a solidified part of who you are now. So if you plan your day out, you know, or your week on a weekly basis the night before, you might realize that you can save some time in the mornings by meal prepping on Sundays, or maybe you can save 30 minutes on your commute by packing your gym bag and putting it next to the door in the mornings so you don't have to come back home to get it. You can go straight to the gym after work or after class. There are so many small ways that we can prepare our day in the different areas of our lives that allow things to transition smoother and make our process easier. So it not only can save our time, save our increase our productivity, but also just gives us comfort that we are handling things with just a little preparation. We don't get overwhelmed with, oh my goodness, man, I had class today and I went to work and I'm really tired and I have to go all the way home to get my gym clothes. We're giving ourselves space to not do the things that we've committed to by not preparing. We make it easier on ourselves to say yes to our goals and the person that we're becoming when we do so. So it's just really important to set yourself up for success and know that that little bit of time, whether it's picking your clothes out for the day to decrease the time in the morning that it takes to get dressed so that you can be more timely, or whatever it is, just know that these habits are impactful ways that reflect your prioritization of becoming your best self. And these are the preparations that become the habits that we form and the processes that we live by. So creating that preparation for your day might be a one-time thing, depending on what your activity for the week is, or it might be something that you end up doing on a weekly or daily basis and it becomes your daily habits. But that preparation sets you up for success in a way that it becomes easy to do the tasks associated with the goals we have set. So our next strategy or tool that we can use to help us have it all and do it all is to be present. And I think this is one of my favorite because it really encompasses that what is having it all and what that truly means, attitude, and really getting introspective about that in our own way. And we're going to approach being present in two different ways. Number one, looking at it from just a productivity level. Distraction and multitasking actually slows us down. I'm sure some of you have heard before, if you have not, multitasking is not really a thing that the brain does well when it comes to complex functions. It feels like we're doing more when we're working on multiple things at once, but actually the brain is actually task switching, or switching very rapidly from one task to another. For example, if you're working on something and you're watching TV, and I know a lot of us do this, if you are going back and forth between, you're actually taking your attention away from your work and for a split second watching TV, and then your attention goes right back to the work that you're doing. And although it doesn't seem impactful, that minute or that second of distraction, what actually happens is we lose our productivity up to 40%, almost half. That is a lot, guys. When we allow distractions, even distractions that seem like we're being quote unquote productive, to get in our way of whatever the one single task that we should be working on, it actually decreases our productivity by almost half, 40%. And that's a lot. So sometimes it feels like we have more things to do and than we can handle than time in the day. But the truth is we can be far more productive in our tasks and perform better if we remain present and focused on the task at hand. And so my favorite strategy for this is how I plan my day is I use time blocks. And that's where you create a chunk of time where you devote a period of time, however long it is. Maybe it's 30 minutes, an hour. I recommend to keep it around an hour, maybe two, depending on what you're doing, to one task, just one. And you eliminate your distractions. You work on that one thing and that one thing only. I carve things out while I'm scheduling my day on my things to do. So I'll take my to-do list that I wrote out.
I'll match it towards my schedule, and then I'll create blocks of time to handle each of those tasks throughout the day. And when I'm working on that task, I try my hardest, I'm not perfect at this, to only perform at that task. But when I do so, when I'm successful in this, when I am successful in this, my mind is more clear, what I produce is better, and often I get things done faster than expected, which really makes room for me spending time for myself, whether that's just a mental reprieve, pat on the back for getting it done faster, or I can insert another micro task. Maybe there's a couple emails I wanted to send, and when I got finished with a task 15 minutes early, it allowed me to slip in that to-do. Or maybe there was something I wanted to do later in the day, and I can get it done now, and I can rest a little bit earlier and watch my favorite TV show tonight. So the great thing about being present and being productive is that it's not just about getting things done and checking things off your list, but you can also make space for yourself. You're not wasting time by trying to get too many things done at one time. You can focus in, give it your full attention, be present and focused, and do what you need to do. Not only does it make your time more valuable, but you perform better. You produce better work when you're focused. Your stream of consciousness is better, and you can be more creative, more productive, more accurate. All of these things can impact our performance, whether it's our academic performance, in our business, just paying attention to our daily processes in our life. It can really help us be better and clearer about the tasks that we are carrying out. But being present doesn't just impact our productivity. It enriches the fullness of our experiences as well. And this is the second way that I want to look at being present and how it allows us to do it all and have it all. If we are carving out family time with or time with a friend or a family member or a loved one, the moments when we're fully present and taking in the experiences are richer and more impactful than before. Remember, creating a more balanced life also includes our community and our relationships, so take time to be present in all of your moments. Let your tasks and your thoughts about your work and your to-do list and what you have to clean at home slip away when you have chances to spend time with people that you love. It can be easy to get distracted with social media, with the things and priorities we have to do, or even just in the back of our head thinking about things and not really being present. The time that we spend with people, because it might be limited, because you are juggling so many different areas of your life and you're trying to keep that balance, make them count. Make them count for yourself and make them count for the people that you're with. It's really, really important, and it really will help you feel like, man, I spent family time, and when I spent family time, I didn't pick up my phone, and those moments were amazing, and I remember the joke I made with my kids, or I remember bringing something up with my best friend from 10 years ago, or I was able to connect with my mentor on a deeper level because I wasn't distracted and stressed and anxious about other things that I was worried about. Being present amplifies the fullness of the experiences that we're in and helps us feel like we are tending better to that area or zone of influence in our life. The next tip I have for you guys, myself, is asking for help. Many of us, especially those of us who burn ourselves out and get overwhelmed, have a hard time asking for help, and that is why we are tired. Take your cape off. There is no need to be a martyr. You do not have to do everything. It is okay to ask for help from your community. This does not make you weak. This does not make you incapable. Actually, getting to a state of interdependence where you can lean on your community without feeling like it takes away from your wholeness is another level of feeling self-fulfilled and really understanding how impactful community is. I mean, we want to help others. Why can't others help us? Why is it not valuable enough for us to ask for help in the same way that other people find value in asking us for help? It's okay to ask for help or outsource your weaknesses. Create a process for someone else to follow. So that's one way that you can ask for help. Maybe if you have children, you can teach them something that can help you take a load off, or a significant other can help you out with something. Maybe it could be hiring someone, outsourcing something that you feel like is time consuming, and maybe you have the finances to do so. Maybe you can have a housekeeper come in twice a month to help you with deep cleaning. Allow yourself that space if it's financially feasible. You may need to outsource your design in your business. It's taking up too much time. Maybe you need to figure out how to make your finances work so that you can do that. Or get a tutor to help you with your studying process. Doing it all on your own can be exhausting. Ask for a babysitter on a Saturday so you can run errands. Ask your mom or your dad or your friend to help out. There's nothing wrong with finding the spaces that you need help and finding a way to fill it with someone who is in your community without overextending. Of course, don't dump all of your responsibilities on others, but know that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to hire people, and there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you weak, doesn't make you lazy. It makes you smart. Work smart so that you can actually have it all, because if your priority is not folding clothes, then maybe you should hire someone whose priority is making money off of folding clothes. And then we can all help each other. So another way to ask for help, and I kind of touched on this before, was to delegate. If it's your employees and your business or the chores with your family, if there are spaces where you're taking on a load and have a team or a network, and that's your family is your network as well, that you can delegate tasks to, do so. I see this in some spaces when with entrepreneurs. We do not want to let go. We do not want to get an assistant. We do not want to ask for help because we're holding on to something with such closeness, and our control issues are like, no, we have to do it ourselves. Delegate tasks. And if you're finding yourself having trouble asking for help, this is another area where I can say from experience that introspection or therapy can really help. There can be limiting beliefs that we cannot ask for help or it will make us weak. Weak to ourselves or perceived as weak from others. And that is simply not true. That is a narrative that we have to break within ourselves. We often take on things, and sometimes people don't even know that we need help, or they do and they offer help, but we don't let them. It's time to let go. It's time to ask for help so you can prioritize and spend energy and time on the things that truly matter to you and to creating fulfillment in your life. So let's talk about auditing. As I mentioned before, there are many areas of our lives that can need attention, from health to our academic careers to our businesses to just our jobs. Some have greater priorities than others depending on who you are and where you are in your life. For example, two people can both consider their financial and their academic well-being a zone of influence or area in their life that they want to prioritize. However, if person A is a young student, their focus would probably be greater and require greater attention and reflection of their behaviors and their goals around their schooling. Are they spending enough time studying? Do they grasp the concept? Are they going to class? Are they turning in their assignments? However, if a person B, who studies for pleasure and is a self-learner, but has children and maybe a home and a mortgage, they might be far more likely to prioritize their financial behaviors. Am I saving? Am I investing? Am I spending on the wrong things? How much am I spending? Checking yourself and your behaviors and checking in with yourself like this is what I call an audit. This type of check-in uses a system to reflect and compare our behaviors and choices against the goals that we have set to gain clarity on. And this helps us to gain clarity on how to improve or grow or heal or the spaces that need more attention in our lives. Some of you, I know for a fact, know about these audits and these auditing systems because you have purchased an audit or the entire collection from my website and have expressed how much it has helped you dig deeper into your own behaviors and choices. And I love that so much. Thank you so much to those of you who have expressed that. I love those comments. I love your questions. Slide into my DMs. Let me know how the audits have impacted you, because this is a system that I use in my own life. And I really feel and have learned that the power of honest self-reflection can really open doors to our own best selves and creating that life that we dream of. So when we audit, we not only see what we need to improve on and what we're unable to complete during the week, if we're doing it on a weekly basis or a quarterly basis, and then there's, of course, the yearly audits, which the series on my website is. So you can definitely go to marjanialadin.com and purchase those. They are cost effective. I made them $12 for the individual audits, or you can purchase the entire set, because I really believe that checking in with yourself for the entire year and creating goals for the year shouldn't be expensive. It shouldn't be something that you are crunching the numbers to do, because we all need these tools. And this is something that is foundational to really leveling up and getting clear on the direction of your life. So if you haven't already, if you're looking for some clarity on your goals, if you want to make sure that you're in alignment and you have habits in place that support those, head to my website, check out the audits, see if one of the zones of influence that you want to prioritize are on that list, and let me know what you think. Let me know how it impacts you. So lastly, we do have one more area or one more tool that we can use to help us have it all. And I think this one might be the most important, to be honest. All of these are important, but this one, it carries a load of weight, because if you don't do it, all of the other tools can have less impact combined than this one tool on its own. And that is gaining perspective. Knowing that searching for perfection or some perfect life is unattainable. If you are looking for me to tell you that doing these or carrying out these strategies and utilizing these tools is going to give you a perfect life, that you'll never have things that are rocky or feel imbalanced or feel stressed, that's not the message that I'm here to tell you. What I'm telling you is that utilizing these tools will help you create more balance, help you create a system that you can tend to the different areas of your life without feeling like you're completely out of whack. Because there are so many different areas of our lives that we have to tend to, and as we expand, they grow. It is important to have a clear grasp on why we are putting energy into the areas that we are. And that creates peace in ourselves, that creates confidence in ourselves, and it creates direction in our lives, so we don't feel like we're just wandering through life with no point and no alignment and no connection to our purpose. We have the power to create our version, our own version of happiness, if and only if we create a mindset of gratitude. And that is the perspective that I'm talking about. The more we are grateful and clear about what is truly important, that is the time that we will stop piling on unnecessary responsibilities and weights on ourselves. We will allow ourselves to lean on our community and lean into the areas that we have mindsets that are holding us back. And it will allow us to heal spaces that keep us in our own way due to those limiting beliefs and traumas from our past. We all have the power to create our own best lives. A perfect life, I don't know what that is, because no one's life is perfect. Even if it seems that way on Instagram, even if it seems that way on TV, no one is. But we have the tools to make our lives the best possible, to balance the different areas of our lives, to grow and heal and to feel whole and to enjoy our lives on a day-to-day basis. And I hope that these tools really help you tweak your process and gain clarity, but also give yourself some reprieve that there is no perfect life. All you can do is be intentional about the spaces that you are putting energy into. Ask yourself honest questions and be accountable for the actions that you do carry out. So I have a couple questions for you guys that I'll leave you with as you go into your day, some questions for reflection, maybe as you go into your next week. Ask yourself, how are you using your energy? What things do you put your time and your energy into? Is that thing the best use of your time? Is it in alignment with the goals that you have set out to accomplish in this next year? If so, how? How do they support that goal? If not, how can you shift your actions and your energy towards the goals that you have set? If you're feeling overwhelmed, ask yourself, can I or have I asked for help from my community Have I looked for tools and resources, people that can help me get the tasks done that I need to? Am I using reasons or am I using excuses? Refer to episode 4 to hold me back from achieving the goals that I have set out to achieve. And are these things a priority? Are they important? Or am I just creating a system of expelling energy towards things that aren't important to me? I hope that these questions and these tips help create greater alignment in the plans that you have and the actions that you carry out in the next week, in the month, and of course throughout the rest of 2020. Thank you guys for joining me for today's episode. Please make sure that you give me a like, rate, and subscribe. Share this episode or the podcast with someone you care about, someone you think that this information, these tools can impact and help. We're all here to become our best selves and help our community do the same. If you aren't already, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. Let's connect. Let's follow each other. Let's chat at Marjani Aladdin. And of course, check out the show notes if you want to review everything we talked about on MarjaniAladdin.com. Thanks for joining me and keep becoming your best self. Have a good one.